You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 330. And today I want to talk about a little bit and encourage all of the fathers and grandfathers and spiritual fathers out there. First of all, as we're headed towards Father's Day this Sunday, happy Father's Day to all of you fathers, all of you dads out there, or spiritual dads, adopted dads, stepdads, all of that. All those who have stepped up in the lives of children to lead them and encourage them in the Lord and to lead them and train them in the ways of God's good design. And I know that in this culture, certainly in this world, there isn't a whole lot of encouragement often pointed towards dads and fathers. In fact, I was looking at the stats on holidays that people celebrate, and one of the least celebrated holidays in the United States is Father's Day. Mother's Day was one of the top, in the top five, often in the top three most celebrated holidays in this country, but Father's Day was like number 17 or 19 or something like that on the list. I mean, way down there. Which is really sad. It's really sad and it's really unfortunate. And I mean, I totally get it. It's often because there has been historically a lot of really brokenness in the imagery of fathers that we've been presented and encouraged. So many of us, you know, grew up without a dad. I fall into that category and many others do as well, I'm sure. And yet, I just want to be a voice for encouragement to all of those dads that are stepping in there and trying to follow the Lord and lead well a wife and kids, or kids in the case of single. You're seen. You're seen by the Lord. And just know that God is there walking with you in all those things. And that's where I think, you know, this encouragement really stems from, is the recognition of the beauty of not just God as Father for us directly, but also the power available to us in Him to be able to live out that good design. You know, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26, the encouragement is to fear the Lord, that a man who fears the Lord will walk confidently and be a refuge to his children. You know, what a beautiful and powerful picture, you know, of that recognition that in the pursuit of the Lord is the power to live and walk in a way worthy of God's good call. And at the same time, that results in being a refuge for children. I mean, think to some of the encouragements or commands. You know, what are men called to do? I often think of Titus chapter 2, you know, where in verse 1 and 2, it says, but you must say the things that are consistent with sound teaching. Older men are to be level-headed, worthy of respect, sensible, sound in faith and love and endurance. And then later on in verse 6, it speaks to young men as well. In the same way, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Make yourself an example of good works with integrity and dignity in your teaching. And that's a high charge. That's a high bar to clear, right? As people that are off, you know, we are sinful and broken humans. We are tainted by our own sin nature, by the flesh, you know, by our own experience, by what the Lord, or what the, not the Lord, but what our experience has been with our own fathers, you know, and growing up, you know, and that sort of thing. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, so many men have tried to figure out what it means to be a man, what God's good design is for a masculinity, for a husband, for a father, right? For all these things, and have tried to figure that out. And I just want this to be, like I said, an encouragement to you. I know Jason and I both want to always encourage men to step up and to engage as God would call them to engage, and recognize, you know, that the beginning of that, or the foundation of that, is in the fear of the Lord, right? Proverbs, the book of Proverbs begins in Proverbs chapter 1. It says, the proverb of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for learning what wisdom and discipline are, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving wise instructions in righteousness, justice, and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discernment to a young man. A wise man will listen and increase his learning, and a discerning man will obtain guidance. For understanding a proverb or a parable, the word of the wise and their riddles. And then verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. And that instruction is given to us a lot in Proverbs, just this encouragement that we always have to go back or begin with the recognition that all wisdom either stems from the fear of the Lord, or it stems from the way that seems right to a man, you know, human wisdom or human reason. And the results of that on either case become very evident very quickly. You know, the fear of the Lord always leads to destruction, or the way that seems right to a man, the way that seems right to a man always leads to destruction. This idea that human reason, or what seems good and right. And unfortunately, I think for us as men, our sin nature often draws us to selfishness. It draws us to fleshly pursuits. You know, it draws us to focuses that are opposite what the Lord has for us. But in the invitation to fear the Lord is the recognition that in His power, as we pursue God, He can do His work in us. And also to recognize as well that God is the ultimate Father, that God is the Father like no other Father, that God has actually been eternally a Father, right? There's never been a part of God's existence where He was not Father. I mean, we look to what Jesus had to say when He told us about what God was doing, you know, before creation, where God was before creating all things. And He was loving the Son, right? John 17, 24 says, Father, I desire that they also, whom You have given Me, be with Me where I am, so that they may see My glory, which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the world's foundation. And this is Jesus giving us an insight into how things were eternally, that God was already a Father, that He has already, that He always was in His Trinitarian nature, living out that perfect unity of Father, Son, and Spirit, right? One God, yet eternally existing as three persons of one God. We do not believe as Christians in three gods. We believe in one God who eternally exists as three persons of one God. We understand this as God is homoousios, which means God is the same in essence, the same in substance, the same in identity. God has one will, one heart, one mind, one purpose, right? Yet there is a role for the Father. There's a role for the Son. There's a role for the Spirit. And this has been true eternally. This has always been true. So the Father has always been a Father, right? He's a Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The begotten Son. Like, look at John 1, 14 through 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? Or even John 3:16 speaks about this, right? In the, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten son, you know, the begotten son of the Father. Hebrews 1:5, for to which of the angels did you say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Only is this true of the son. He says, and again, I will be a father to him and he shall be a son to me. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but God is the father of all created things, all creatures, everything that exists, right? James 1:16, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of shifting. In the exercise of his will, gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would know of the first fruits among his creatures. Speaking to, you know, God in relationship to humanity. Of course, God is the father of the son's redeemed siblings, those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Or Ephesians 1:3-6, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, Christ to himself, according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And so he is the father of the redeemed siblings of Jesus. I mean, he has just always been father. This has always been part of his character and nature and his good purpose, right? It makes him the father as a glorious one, worthy of honor and hallowed in his name, as Jesus says when he's praying, you know, to the Father, and encourages us to pray to the Father as well, that he has that unique position, that beautiful place, you know, Father before all, the Father unlike all. No one is equal. No one is the same. In fact, all human fathers literally are just there to point to, you know, the glory of God. I mean, I think about this in my own life, right? All of the men, the, let's say, spiritual fathers, that's how I think of them, all the spiritual fathers that the Lord has brought into my life, all those guys have, you know, shown me so many things. And yet, that's only small glimpses, right? That's only pieces of the puzzle of how good the fatherhood of God is. That only speaks to just a small glimpse of how good God is, and how wonderful he is. In fact, a quote that I really like in describing this comes from Scott Swain, who says, unlike the fatherhood of creatures, the fatherhood of God is not dependent, not composite, not changing, not limited, and not temporal. It is self-existent. It is simple, immutable, infinite, and eternal. God's radiant fatherhood is above all other forms of fatherhood. And that is to say, even our best examples and our best ability to be an example is literally just to point us to God. That is to say, even the men that have invested greatly in our lives and encouraged us so much in the truth of God, all of that is only meant ultimately to point us to our Heavenly Father that we will soon get to experience and get to know one day when we are in the presence and glory of God directly. And so all that to say, when you have those times where you're tired, you have those times where you feel lonely, you have those times where you feel unappreciated as a father or as a husband, as one that is given the great burden of spiritually and emotionally and physically leading a home, just know that God is there as the ultimate father, and he is there to help. He is there to give us the power we need to live this out in our lives, and for a great and beautiful purpose. You know, when we pursue the good truth of God, when we pursue God's good truth in our lives, and the power that is available to us through the work of God that he's given us through the work of Christ on the cross, you know, that drawing back into a deep personal and abiding relationship with the Lord, but then the ongoing power of the Lord to sanctify us, to draw us and make us more and more into the image of God. So go back to this encouragement from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children have refuge. And then followed up, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of life, turning people away from the snares of death. So here we have the keys, right? That all good fathering, all good parenting begins in the fear of the Lord, and that is the applied truth of God, right? So not just the pursuit of the Lord, which is absolutely necessary and vital, right? You cannot be connected, or you cannot live out godliness disconnected from the source of that godliness, right? Jesus told us that in John 15, where he says that he is the vine and we are the branches, and if we abide in him, then we have fruitfulness, then we will bear fruit, right? But apart from him, we can do nothing. And so first, yes, that salvation piece is important, and that pursuit of God is important, because without that connection, then we are not able to live out that truth. But then also the active and ongoing pursuit of God and his good wisdom. You know, Lord, how can I walk and live in a way that is in line with your calling? And so part of that fear of the Lord is the recognition of God's word. What has God said? What has he said in his word? How has he spoke to this reality of fatherhood in his word? And the pursuit of it helps us to do that. And the, I think, hardest part of being a parent and or being a spiritual leader of any kind, not just in the home, but in the church and in community and everything, is the leadership by example aspect, right? The number one thing you can do as a good leader is to live out and to model what it is to be a follower of Jesus and what it is to grow in sanctification before the Lord and to grow into the image of Christ that he has for us, you know, that God's good and beautiful design in that sense. And that's very difficult to do, right? And yet we're told to do it as a father. If you want your children to live in a godly way and walk in a godly way, then it's not just about taking them to church, and it's not just about teaching them things with your words, but it's also what is the life that you're living out in front of them. You know, I think it's really sad when you see like a dad bring his kids to church, but doesn't go to church himself. It's like, yeah, that's beneficial to a point. And that's valuable to a point. And certainly the Lord can get a hold of anybody's heart and can do amazing work in anybody's life. But it's much more powerful when the dad leads by example and he takes his kids to church and he goes to church, right? And they see an active and serious faith lived out in his life. Not a bunch of lived rules, but actually a life yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that goes back to the fear of the Lord, right? Because when you look up all these verses about the fear of the Lord, what you find is that they are always in the context of actual obedience, right? So it's not just about seeking the Lord. It's not just about a reverential awe, but it's actually about applying actively the truth of God to our lives as well. So taking in God's good word, taking in God's good purpose, taking in God's good commands, taking in God's good design, but then also allowing it to permeate our heart and our mind, and to such a degree that then we are living it out and walking it out in a practical way. Because in that, that's what becomes this refuge that Proverbs 14:26 is talking about to our children, right? That's what that is. It's this constant focus on the Lord and a lived out experience that then becomes a protection, a safe harbor for our children against a world that is mad sinful and is mad trying to corrupt kids all the time. It is the job, it is the duty, it is the charge of the father to stand against that and to weather that storm, right? To literally take it on your back, so to speak, so that your kids can live in peace and safety and refuge, much like the Lord does for us, right? Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and they are safe. It's a picture of a big tower, right, on a castle, and inside it, you're safe. Well, that is the presence of the Lord. And as the Lord does that for us, so a father illustrates that for his own kids and his own family, which, again, that points to the Lord as well, right? That's the father literally acting out in a small way what the glory of God does, what the power and sovereign majesty of God does in our lives as well, right? Psalms 141, I lift my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, right? That's the source of our safety and our protection. And when a man is rooted and solid and dug in there before the Lord in the wisdom of God and the truth of God and actively seeking to live that out practically in his life by the power of God, then it becomes a blessing to children. And then children get to see, hey, there's something to this faith thing, right? Because my dad is seeking after the Lord to be a loving dad. My dad is seeking to be a humble man by the power of the Lord at work in him. My dad is seeking not to be an angry man, right? My dad is seeking to be a sexually pure person before the Lord, right? Not cheating on their spouse, not watching pornography, not running around, you know, catting around, as they used to say. All of that becomes such a great example, right? Somebody who is under control with all godliness and under self-control in the Lord and living out the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, literally standing firm in the truth of God's word and standing against the evil culture, standing against the evil things of this day and this age, and standing for the good glory of the Lord. And so all that to say, friends, I want to encourage you with that. Fathers, grandfathers, thank you again for standing in the gap. Keep standing. It's good for children. Right? Proverbs 27, the one who lives with integrity and is righteous, his children who come after him will be happy. There's a blessing of a godly lineage in the life of the children, right? Proverbs 23:24, the father of a righteous son will rejoice greatly. The one who fathers a wise son will delight in him. There is a beauty in living out and teaching a son to walk in the good ways of the Lord and seeing them embrace that goodness. And then, of course, you know, Proverbs 22:6, teach a youth about the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, remember, these are proverbs. These are wisdom sayings. they're not direct promises from God. So you can absolutely be the best parent in the world and seek the Lord and to seek to live that out as best as you can in the life of your kid, and your kid can still walk away from the Lord, right? This is not a direct promise from God. But what we do know is that it's true. It's true wisdom, right? In fact, studies have shown that in a home where the father is actively engaged in a personal relationship with the Lord, then there's an 85% chance that the kids walk in that way as well. And so that's the proof of that wisdom saying, right? That it is true, that it is true most of the time. And for the one willing to pursue it, his family will be blessed. His children will be blessed. His wife will be blessed. And even all those people around him will be blessed. So to the fathers out there, to the grandfathers out there, to the spiritual fathers out there, thank you. Keep up the good work. Keep pursuing the Lord. Keep seeking to train and lead and encourage in the truth of the Lord with your words, with your lives, with your actions. And just know, when you feel alone, when you feel unappreciated, your ultimate heavenly Father is there with you. He knows the pain. He knows the struggle. And he is the Father there, delighted in you and wanting to encourage you to continue to pursue him. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.